Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Kick it in the guts, Barry.
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
The glass is made of yards of ivory chest.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel. We dusted off the studio after that wild rampage by Talkback with Attitude. We're now going on to the serious business of Australian filmmaking. And today we've got the writer-director James Litchfield having a chat with us today. G'day, James. Hello. How are you?
Hello, Annie. I'm very well.
Good. If people aren't aware, you've got your film Alphabet Lane coming out. It's got fabulous stars and it's a darkly humorous, very Australian film. But before we start talking about it, I was wondering if you could give my listeners a bit of an understanding of your journey into filmmaking.
Yes. So I was, before I was a filmmaker, I was a lawyer for a while.
Oh, you mad boy. What sort of lawyer?
I work in a big corporate law firm and then for a judge for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And then you ran away.
And then I ran away, exactly. But I'd always written a lot and we had been making short film for quite a long time. And then I was also... have been interested in performance for a while, and sort of while I was still working as a lawyer, I spent a brief time at a acting school in France called Ecole Philippe Goliere, which was quite influential on me. And then I went to VCA over during COVID.
Ooh. And how did they handle teaching people during COVID?
It was really interesting. I mean, in some respects, it was great. For the first year, it was almost entirely remote, but it was great in a way because you spent a lot of time making films by yourself, which gave you a lot of freedom to experiment and learn things about your voice and things. So, in a sense, it was obviously very unconventional, but still quite interesting.
So then what happened?
So then I went to, after VCA, took me up to about the time I started writing this film. I sort of started writing it after that lane. So I wrote it, I sort of had the rough idea over COVID. And then after that, I guess looking back on the COVID experience, I think gave me a little bit of context and not that it's not a film about COVID, but
it does have sort of reminiscences to it. Just a disclosure, I lived for about 6 years in the bush and like genuine bush. And so the notion of meeting people, even if you didn't like them, being a feast of human interaction, really, I had a deep understanding of where this film Alphabet Lane comes from. But it's a very unusual kind of a film, isn't it?
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I think we were trying to make something, alive and. I think, and in that way, have something that has its own tone and that will invite a sort of a conversation with the viewer, and that, I mean, it was really nice. One of the nice things, we screened at MIFF last year, and it was lovely afterwards, you know, talking to people and hearing their varied reactions to it. You know, I mean, obviously, there was obviously a lot of commonalities between what they took from it, but there was also just a lot of variation in terms of comments, like one you've just made, of people saying, you know, oh, this reminded me of a time I lived in a remote area, or it reminds me of something that happened in a relationship that I was in, or, yeah.
Well, going back to your experiences of French acting, I mean, I'm jumping to a conclusion here, because for people to realise that Alphabet Lane is really a two-hander, it's got some support actors, but it's a two-hander, and it's got some brilliant stars. It's got Tilda Cobham Hervey in it, and it's got Nicholas Denton, who play off each other. In this film, two people who have come from the city, and wide-eyed he is. He's got this idea about what the country's going to be like, and she's gone because she loves him, effectively. And basically that's the starting off point for interrogating the isolation of Australian country life, effectively. The lack. There's a huge lack, isn't there?
Yes. I think that's such an important thing that they've definitely, and yeah, I think that's probably fair to say that he's definitely the more enthusiastic of the two. But yeah, they've definitely gone there with, you know, at least a certain, yes, there's an ideal of what they have a certain expectation of what their life in the country is going to be like, and it doesn't live up to that. And I think, or it's not so much, it's just different to what they think. And I suppose the thing when you're looking for the authentic experience is almost, you know, by definition, not what you think it's going to be.
Well, the reason why I brought up the French acting is because I was wondering if there is a sort of a sense of, like, it's a slow burn. And I was wondering if the characteristics of what you learned in that French acting course was about powering things back so that you got the nuance of human interaction.
I think, in a way, it went more into the writing of the film, which sounds silly. I mean, although it definitely did inform my, you know, attitude to performance, which was, I guess, you know, above anything it should be, you know, there should be an element of fun and taking pleasure in performance and in creating things, and I think I tried to, you know, encourage that in both the actors, but there was also something in that I suppose also goes to the script, insofar as there's you know, the script is about two creative people and about two people who are using their imaginations to deal with their situation.
Yeah, the isolation. Actually, it's a very amusing film in a way, because it's a slow burn. I have to tell people that it's a slow burn. You've got to sit there in it, just like the characters themselves are sitting in their lack and their isolation and their expectations that are all being doused like a flame. But then it's deeply wicked. It's a wicked script.
I think yes. I think it is interesting hearing the range of responses to it, in a way. I think people. I mean, and I guess ideally you want. It's nice when people get a bit of, you know, can experience a feel. It's tone for, I guess, in all its complexity. But some people find it, you know, really funny, and some people find it quite disturbing.
But you see, that's why it's so good. That's why it works. It does. It makes you really laugh, but it's also terribly wicked.
Oh, good. No, I'm very pleased to hear that.
Yeah, and it's got this fabulous thing about when the imagined world crosses over into the real world, but it even out into the real, real, real world.
Yes, I think that's, yeah, there's definitely, I think, about there's a, I suppose there is that definitely that thing of worlds colliding and very, and yeah, interesting. I guess you get when that starts to happen, you get some very interesting and odd phenomena.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because there is a lot of cliche around or stereotyping of what Australian country living is like, right? And also this sense of how beautiful the landscape can be. But also there is very little interrogation of the social dynamics within Australian society, really. I mean, it's like people avert their eyes to the underlying underdevelopment of the society that is commonly running under the Australian world, which you're interrogating into such a degree. I mean, the young waitress in the hotel at the restaurant, what a magnificent realization of a genuine interaction.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you say that. I think it's interesting because the people in the city, the country, I think still plays, you know, maybe not as in the sense that it once did, but it's still quite an important part of people's, I think, imagination. And you know, I think people definitely, or some people at least, you know, definitely imagine or fantasize about leaving the city, and I mean, and then I guess of course a lot do, but there's necessarily, I think, a certain romanticization that happens, and yeah, I think I suppose whenever you romanticize something, the reality of what you encounter will be something else. People, you know, people obviously do not conform to how you expect them to.
Yeah, but also, I mean, there's a whole lot of darkness about it. I suppose, I mean, I don't know if it brought up a whole lot of things for me. It's like a parallel universe to what country means to, say, First Nations people. It's like the people in the film, even the fact that they live in that house that is the outcome of a pastoralist suborning of the land, effectively. I mean, like, there's a whole lot of, it's like a chess game in a sense from a writer's point of view, because you're the writer as well as the director, and you're moving the pieces around. And quite clearly, that house must have been something that you were already thinking about, were you?
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, definitely. And I'm from Cooma, where we shot the film, although it's not necessarily set in the real Cooma, somewhat.
Yeah, I know Cooma. I mean, Cooma is a much more sort of, it's got an older life than many country towns, and it's got a complex life as well. So
yes,
it's got layers, right?
It does.
Yeah.
So I wrote it. And, Cooma does have such an interesting history because it has the snowy scheme, which is sort of obviously started again, which, brought a lot of migrants there during the 50s and 60s. I think there is a lot to tap into there. It's interesting. I think the film definitely, it's interesting like that. I wasn't like looking so much at that tradition of, you know, Australian sort of, especially non-Indigenous cinema of, you know, people in this reckoning with this, being in a beautiful place, and but also feeling a bit ambiguous about it, but I think it definitely picks up on some of those trends in Australian cinema, or non-Indigenous Australian cinema at least.
Well, it's certainly saying something about it, because it's I'll just remind people they're listening to Showreel, and we're having a chat with writer-director James Lynchfield about his film Alphabet Lane, which is being released on the 23rd of April, but there's going to be a Q&A and a screening on the 19th at the Nova. And the film itself is an extremely pleasing film, and it's quite revelatory about modern Australia in a way, although it's set in rural Australia. And it revolves around a young couple who are trying to survive isolation effectively. And part of the interesting nature of this film is, this is your first feature, isn't it? And and you've worked on some interesting other types of things that are completely different. I mean, I've actually seen Anyone But You, which is an American film, really, isn't it? It's set in Sydney, right?
Yes.
Location manager. So with many parts, with a glamorous money and all that sort of stuff. And you've also worked on At Home at the Zoo, which is a series, right?
Oh no, At Home at the Zoo is actually a play it's an Edward Albee play that we're putting on in at the end of May, Sydney.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're actually, because that's one of the elements of this particular film, it's got the depth of a theatre play about it. I mean, it's not just, it's a film, quite clearly, and it works as a film, but it's got the sensibility of the type of interrogation that theatre has in regard to characters and their motivations, it seems to me.
Oh, that's right. I'm very pleased to hear that. I suppose I take that as a huge compliment.
Well, tell me about the writing process, because it seems to me that it's very pared down. I mean, you can't hide in this film. I mean, everything is on display.
I wrote it. I wrote it, as I was saying, I started writing at the start of COVID, and then I developed it. It was sort of thought about it for a long time, and then went back to it eventually after COVID. And I think it was maybe a way of making sense of some of that experience in some way. But I think as well, I knew that I wanted to, especially for my first feature, because I wanted to do something that was very performance focused and so contained, that you could do it, with like a relatively small cast in a handful of locations. And I think when I very much believe that, imposing restraints or working within restraints is very good for creativity generally. And so I think when you impose those restraints and decide to work within them, you need to make sure that everything is doing something and you need to be quite disciplined in that way.
Yeah, it sounds like distressed gardening or something to get a particular bloom. It's quite funny. You also, how did you attract such great actors? Because it absolutely requires really great actors.
Yeah. So my producer, Lucinda Reynolds, had worked with Tilda before. And so she was able, she sent Tilda the script and she really liked it. And we were very fortunate to cast her because, she's an extremely creative person. She's actually got her own film coming out soon. Nicholas also just responded to it in a really he's an equally kind of creative and spontaneous person, and so I think they both just really understood it on that level. And Nick actually went for a brief time to Goliath in France as well. we had that in common. Yeah.
Well, they've both got really quite impressive credits, actually. So it's quite clear. But also all the other actors as well who, really keep, do a good structure, create a good structure to the film. They're very good as well.
Yeah, I know. We were really fortunate. We're actually in the Albie play that we're putting on in May. We've got two of the actors who play the friends that come and visit them. They're appearing in the play as well. And then Pashanya Vincent, who plays Michelle, which is such an amazingly beautiful job.
Just makes me laugh. And then when you said about the two people, what are they doing here?
I know that, yeah. That line thing.
Yeah, no, and it's when people are put on this brave face and then you get the other side of what they actually think. It's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, oh, no, that's good. Thanks.
I mean, it's so real. That's my point. It's got this whole fabulousness to it. And then the last sequence, I mean, that's why people have to go and see it. It's not often that Australia produces dark comedy like this. Like, this is a very dark comic. It appears to be lightweight, but it's got a real thrust at the end.
Oh, good. I'm
a bit surreal, too, I'll have to say.
Yeah, I think that was definitely part of the writing of it, and I suppose execution was not, it ends up in quite a wacky place, but, I tried quite hard to keep it so that each step along each, plot advancement was not a huge leap.
And and all of it works. Yeah. I mean, you don't go into, it's not like Begonia where, I don't know if you've seen Begonia, where everything eventually turns out that they really are aliens, and it really... And so, all the things that happened before were completely understandable in a completely wacky world. No, this is much more normal and real, I'll have to say. How long was the shoot?
It was pretty short. It was under a month, about 3 and a bit weeks. But it was great. We just had a very committed and hardworking crew, a lot of people, myself included, were sort of stepping up into HOD roles, which I guess gave it a certain energy, I think, and people, it was people worked very hard to. Make it happen in that time, and the actors as well were just so committed.
It feels very friendly, I'll have to say. So James, you're doing a Q&A and a screening at Nova on the 19th. So do you want to tell people about how the film's going to travel?
We're this Sunday at 4, the 19th, we're screening it at Nova, and then it's playing at the Nova from the 23rd, and also at the Sun Theatre in Yarraville. And then we're doing a bit of a Q&A tour around Australia, and then it'll be
you're going to let it fly.
Let it fly, exactly.
And on Sunday it's at 4 p.m, so it's a perfect afternoon kind of thing to do.
Yes, excellent. Yeah.
Thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Annie. I'm so glad the film connected with you.
Yeah. And that's it for Showreel today. Alphabet Lane is a very, very cute little number worth going to see. And if you're a filmmaker in particular, going to the Q&A would probably repay your efforts on Sunday at the Nova at 4 p.m. Coming up next is Published or Not. And we'll go out with more of what I've been playing lately, which is the Ought Weavers, because they're just so delicious.
frogs return where the wetlands lay, and the magpies sing what you cannot say. Sky and the whispering reeds. Life grows upwards and out under moonlight. Will I find comfort? Will I find peace? In the mirrored water of moon over sea.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.